Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx media like
Kimberly and Trini on the new Power Rangers movie. Like, honestly,
they're in love.
They're fighting over donuts, they're flirting, they're 100% in love,
they're making crazy eye contact,
and the fact that like she like grabs her and hugs her and like goes into like the fucking abyss with her. Representative.
It's pretty typical of how to get a girl's number in the lesbian community.
That's how I mean, with everybody. I just grab them and jump off a cliff. That's
how I've gotten every girl I've ever dated in my life.
And she like, and then Kimberly straight up said, you know, I want your water bottle. AKA, I'm thirsty for you. All right. Well,
I mean, let's keep it going.
That's how it is.
Yeah. That's how it be sometime.
What up, cabrona?
What's poppin', chingona? What you doing, girl?
I'm sipping some champagne because we're celebrating.
We are celebrating. Shout out to Latinos Who Lunch. What? Hey. No, but yeah, shout out to Latinos Who Lunch. They shouted us out. It was amazing. It was super cool. Because they're the reason why I even wanted to start a podcast with you. It's because I was listening to them for months and going, you know, this is amazing. Like, this is the first time I connect to a podcast and I'm obsessed with them. And like, I just always want to hear their opinions. Like, I learned so much from listening to them. Like, when Babelito talked about Frida, like, I got my edumacation on. I got relearned, girl, and it was so good. It was so worth it. What about you?
I was super stoked to hear about that. I was, like, on a high this past Thursday, but I will talk about this for 5 years, so I'm not going to get started.
I might, too, to be honest. I made my mom listen to it. I made my girlfriend listen to it. I made everyone listen to it.
Really? I just showed Brandon a second ago. But
that's so cool.
Yeah, I was really excited. But
and then Aurora Guerrero, from the director from Mosquita and Mari.
Aurora Guerrero. Shout out to her. She's great. Which she followed us back on Twitter, which is nice.
That is very... to me, that was also life-changing because that's my favorite
queer movie. She was Woman Crush Wednesday AF.
Yeah, I mean, she's directing for Queen Sugar now.
She did an episode. Oh, and then the director of Circumstance did another one. Ava DuVernay, like...
She's finding all of our favorite people.
Please hire me, Ava.
Hire Maite.
Let me get your
coffee.
Por
favor, hire her.
I'll clean your shoes, whatever you want.
I mean...
Get you your lunch.
I'll wash your clothes, iron it. Whatever you want me to do, I got you.
Yeah.
Right? But
mm-hmm. I'm really bad at ironing, but...
I'll iron.
That's besides the point.
You'll wash. We'll be the Mexicans. Oh my god.
No, never mind. This is
no, dude, we can't be like cleaning our house coffee. And like painting it.
Just let me take care of your children.
No, dude, we're not doing that. No. But shout out to the people who do though, you know, because that's what my mom
You guys
did,
are special so. People.
We love y'all. I owe everything to y'all because shout out to my mom for doing those things.
So back to Latinos Who Lunch. Thank you.
Yes.
thank you for the shout out. That was great.
It was amazing. And what else has been going on with you?
I have had like the most boring work week of all time. God, it's been so boring.
Really?
Yeah. I'm so sick of this 9-to-5, but
soon to be over with.
Yeah, soon to be over with. Going to New York this Friday. That'll be fun.
Ooh, excited. What for? Just cause?
I was given the opportunity to go on the trip, and I was just like, let's go to New York. So I'm going to New York for from Friday to Monday. It's a short trip, but I'm gonna go spread around some Cabronas y Chingonas stickers.
Oh yeah, so good news. This is coming out in a while, but we got Cabronas y Chingonas stickers, so if you want one, just DM us, we'll figure it out.
Especially if you're in the DFW area, that's that way we don't have to be like sending off shit,
preferably though. We don't have to mail it, but we will.
If you're gonna be in Peru in September or in LA after October, I'll catch you there too.
Yeah, she'll give them to you when she's in LA or Peru.
Yeah, you're probably not gonna be in Peru.
And if you're in Marfa, I got you in October.
You go to Marfa?
Yeah, we're trying to go to Marfa in October for Halloween.
I passed through there on the way back from Mexico very recently.
Really? How was it?
We literally just passed through.
Oh, you just drove through. You didn't stop. Yeah, to any of the modern art.
You know, I didn't know that there was any until I watched I Love Dick. So
I'm so proud of you for finally watching it, by the way.
I watched like 3 episodes and I was just like sick of them so bad, dude.
Did you watch the episode that I told you to watch with just
no,
the women
I didn't.
And without?
Because I'm gonna have to watch the whole show and get to it because I can't just watch the one.
Yeah, I mean, it's very like hipster
I'll get to
art
it.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
but
no.
I like all that shit, so
I got to the first like sex scene with Roberta Colindres's character
daddy,
which was interesting,
the daddy
to say the
scene
least. It was yeah, it was weird
said in that context. It's not bad.
Yeah, it was
but
interesting.
It, like,
I love her
a
hair.
Girl just calls you daddy in the street, you're like, well, thank you. I'm not your father.
That's never gonna happen.
Hey, you know what, I said it was never gonna happen to me, and when it did I felt so
in the street
different. No.
That's what I'm talking about. It's never going to happen on the street.
Well, it happened to me in a similar way, but not like that. Not in that. No, okay. Not like exactly.
If somebody called me daddy on the street, I'd be okay with it.
Right? Like,
but not in any other context.
Well, I got called Zaddy, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, we talked about this
yeah.
before.
Anyways, so I tried to get in the Christine Sodelco.
Yeah, you're
I apologize.
I'm literally wearing a "Don't Mess with Texas" shirt right now.
Inspired by Christine
Sodelco. I don't think we've
and
mentioned
also
this, but
Chuck Norris.
Wow. Chuck Norris.
What does Chuck Norris have to? Chuck Norris has everything to do with
he lives
how I envision Texas.
He lives around here, right?
Yeah, and they filmed Walker, Texas Ranger in Dallas, like in the 90s. And as a child, you know, I thought I could be Walker, Texas Ranger, even though I'm not a man, obviously.
Dude, my little brother,
but
Chuck
my
Norris.
Beard can definitely get, you know, just as fleeky as his.
Cannon! No, dude, like there's like a running joke in my family because my little brother met Chuck Norris and took a picture with him when he was doing like karate shit, and there's a picture of him and Chuck Norris, and like everybody jokes that that's his real dad.
Oh snap.
It's hilarious.
Your real dad.
It's obviously not, because me and my brothers unfortunately have the exact same face.
Yeah,
so
you look
there's
nothing
like
Chuck Norris, unfortunately.
Yeah, so
but it doesn't mean he can't be your dad.
That's a weird thought.
That's super messed up.
That's a weird thought, but
like,
I'm pretty sure it's not
yeah
him, no.
He's definitely not your father.
Yeah,
but it is. But yeah,
but yeah, no, I do, I love Christine Sodelco, dude. Like, she, I don't know,
can
I
you
think
tell me why. I just don't. I tried, I really did, and
I believe you.
She's cool.
It's not for everybody, and like I was kind of telling you earlier, you have to kind of like ease into her fan base, I guess, because she started out on Vine and we just saw a few weird vines with her in it, and that's, I don't know, it kind of led to, she started doing YouTube after that, she started getting paid, and I still think she's fucking hilarious. It's like all this crazy shit, it's like, you know, the, what do you call it in like in psychology, where it's like the id, the ego.
Which one is she?
She's the one that just fucking lets loose and does whatever.
The id, right? She's
the
id.
Yeah, so she's that part of me that always wants to go do crazy shit, but I can't do it.
Oh, she's your alter ego.
Yeah, so that's what I enjoy looking,
okay.
Watching her videos.
Yeah, I just didn't get her. Like.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you have to ease into it. You can't just like watch
I watched
around
the No Jumper interview.
Oh.
Was that like a bad
that
entry
was a very
point?
It's very old. It's very old for sure. What I would start with is their Bing Bong video. They did like a parody of
a
House.
Bing Bong?
Yeah.
From
they
Inside
did it.
Out?
From what?
Who's Bing Bong?
Bing Bong. No, Bing Bong is what it's called. So they did a parody of Halsey's, one of her videos, essentially. But they replaced 100% of the lyrics with the words Bing Bong.
So the whole song is just the words Bing Bong.
The words Bing Bong. And they like pretty much recreate it almost exactly like how the video goes. And they make fun of it. And they got like millions of views on it. And Halsey like got pissed off about it in real life. So that's what I would start with. So you can kind of get an intro to who she is, what kind of humor she has. You know what I mean? So that's where you should start.
All right, everybody, go watch the Bing Bong video with Christine Sodelco.
Oh, God, it's so good. Like,
don't watch the No Jumper interview that's 2 hours long like I did. And
no, I didn't do that.
I mean, I found out a lot about her. I found out that she
yeah.
Identifies as asexual.
She's asexual.
That's cool.
She did a couple of things on, like, BuzzFeed. She did something on BuzzFeed about that as well. That's kind of where she started blowing up, too. She went on BuzzFeed.
Oh, okay. I don't fuck with BuzzFeed too much.
Me neither, honestly. But I haven't seen those videos.
Mezcla, like, every day about BuzzFeed.
Mezcla's great.
unless it has something with Ashley. She's
okay. Yeah, you got a crush there?
I do have a crush on Ashley from BuzzFeed.
I don't even know that.
Is she even on BuzzFeed anymore?
I have
BuzzFeed
no
Violet.
Idea.
Do you remember? She's
no,
the
I'm telling you, I don't watch
content
it.
Content creator. She's a giant crush on her. He has a crush on Quint or Joe or Anna.
Oh, yeah, I actually know who she is. I love like her Millie Rock video. Like,
yes!
All over the world or whatever. God, that shit is like inspiring. There's a couple of videos of me out there doing the Millie Rock inspired by her.
Her name's Ashley Perez, and she does the I don't know if she's still with them, but she's the producer. She did cool. all the content for BuzzFeed Violet, which is the only reason I got into BuzzFeed, and she's queer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, big crush on her. But
I can see, by the way, that you're clutching the couch right now.
I'm what?
You're just like holding on for dear life.
I'm holding
like,
on to dear life for the couch because, wow, I talk about Ashley Perez. That's not weird at all. If she ever hears this, that's awkward. No. Anyways.
I have a crush on Quinta. I like
you, boy. Yeah, say that again, Joe.
I'm feeding something.
Oh. Okay, stupid.
Our auto engineer has a crush on Quinta. And Brandon, do you have a crush on anyone on the internet?
He doesn't he doesn't do the like he's gonna show me. He's gonna show me a meme.
He doesn't know what social media is. He hides his gold in the backyard, the shovel.
He's Ron Swanson, but without the manliness.
Oh my burn. God, burn.
Oh God.
Yeah, he has a rotary gold. Phone in the corner.
It's like those chocolate coins.
Which ones?
Never mind. The gold.
You're like, I give up.
I'm not even gonna try to explain that. I'm not gonna explain that. Oh, Joe's got it. But yeah, so today we're talking about. Yes. We're gonna let's start today with your recommendation because I'm actually switching things up today. I'm talking about comics.
Yes, my thing is going to switch it up, talk about comics.
But it links into TV in a weird way. But you're going to talk about a movie.
I'm talking about a Colombian film released in 2013. It's called La Luciérnaga. It's by director Ana María Hermida. I apologize in advance for pronouncing probably everything wrong. I don't know how to say Firefly in Spanish very well because Mom told me to integrate. Anyways.
Assimilation. My mom said, fuck you, talk to me in Spanish.
Well, my mom talked to me in Spanish and I talked to her in English. Anyways, it's called La Luciérnaga and it's released in 2013. I wouldn't necessarily say it's completely queer, but then again, human connections that turn out to be queer, they're just queer. Anyways, I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, the movie itself is, I guess all love stories are kind of about human connection. So in that way, this movie is about a human connection. It just so happens to be a queer human connection. It's about finding love out of loss and pain and grief. And it's super sad and kind of depressing, but I felt like it should be highlighted because she's a producer, a writer. It's pretty amazing, actually, to have a female director, writer, anything. And so,
Wonder Woman. I guess she didn't write it, though.
No.
Still love her, though.
And at first watching it, it's a story about a girl who loses her husband and a sister who loses her brother. Same dude.
Oh.
Same dude.
Oh.
Yeah. So the main chick, her name is Lucia and Mariana. So one loses her brother, one loses her fiancé in the same day that she was supposed to get married. Yeah, talk about dramatic, right?
That's intense, yeah.
But what's interesting about the plot is that it actually is a true story. Like, the director, this happened to Ana María Hermida. Her brother passed away. And so for a solid month, her brother's fiancé went to go live with her in New York. And they kind of developed, I guess, I don't know what happened. She didn't expand upon that in the interview that she was talking about it. But she did say that that inspired this film. And so.
So was in the movie and in real life, do you think it was like a one-sided thing?
It could have been one-sided. Or she didn't expand upon whether the intimacy was, like, she responded to the intimacy. What happens in the movie, they lose their brother. They lose their love in the same day. And so they just start hanging out from that day forward. What I found interesting was that the sister, I think she's like an older sister, she goes to her brother's apartment, and that's where she finds the fiance. She didn't know that her brother was getting married. The chick's still in the wedding dress, and she shows up, and they just kind of like naturally bond. Like, they just fall into each other, I guess. And what I found really cool about the whole movie was that it wasn't about sexuality per se. It was just about human connection. Like, neither of the girls mention like a coming out. Neither of them like feel the need to even question their sexuality. I think they're done with that bullshit at that point. You know, like, yo, someone we love just died. We don't give a fuck about, like.
That's the cool thing about, well, not cool, but that's a big part of death. It puts a lot of things in perspective. So like all these little insignificant social shit stigmas, that we have to,
they fade away.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, who cares, like we're just gonna fucking die.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it's super gotcha. Like, I found myself, because I have a brother, so I found myself, you know, like, whoa, what would I do if I lost my brother? And so it was super gotcha for like the whole movie, like you losing your brother and dealing with loss. And they never really mention their sexuality, and I like that. I appreciate that, because I feel like that's more real. Like, I think when you really fall in love with someone, you're not giving a fuck about your sexuality. You're just falling in love with someone. You're not worried about...
Well, especially not when it's, like, a later in life thing, you know what I mean? Like, when you're a kid, like, yeah, you're questioning your identity in 100 different ways. But if you're older already and you know who you are and you have these feelings,
well, that's
like, you're
not going to sit there. Both of them, I would say, identified as straight.
Yeah.
Like, the sister was married.
Right.
She was, like, in a... The sister was married, and the other chick was about to marry her brother. So they're both... like, none of them said they were queer. There was no definitions. There's no one self-identifying as genderqueer, and no, they just were. And I really appreciated that. And
I sense you having there being a part of this movie that you weren't a big fan of, though.
Okay, so when I was watching this, I started the movie off being super excited, going, okay, this isn't going to be the whole steal your wife lesbian trope.
Because he's dead?
Yeah, because I was like, okay, the brother died. Like, oh, it's okay. Like, no one's stealing someone's, like, girlfriend or wife. No.
Oh.
But weird. You know what? I really appreciated that she did... Spoiler alert. She left her husband. But she left him right after the first time she cheated. Like... The first time she spent a weekend with this chick that her husband told her to go spend a weekend with her. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean.
Like, after they spent that week together, Actually, they were just together the whole time, and old boy was, like, completely checked out. And so there, you can see the relationship was already, like, ending. Like, it was something that wasn't alive anymore. Neither of them were nurturing that relationship, that marriage. So he was kind of just using her to kind of do his business ventures, and she wasn't about it anymore. She's like, I just lost my brother. Shit's in perspective. Super gotcha. And I just really like that they just kind of fell into an intimacy. There's no questioning it. They spent every night together cuddling. Like, that's normal. Like, let's just, like... There was a scene where she was going to finally take off the wedding dress, and she made old girl do it.
Wait, so she kept the dress on?
She had the wedding, because her husband died in the day of their wedding.
Right, like, but like, she kept it on for how long?
Maybe like a day or two. And then or maybe just one day when she was like crying in it.
Yeah.
And she told old girl to take it off of her. She was ready to take off the dress. And that's when you first catch glimpses of like, wait a minute, she's sexually attracted to her. Like, cause she took off that dress and she was like, oh, hey, you know that look? You know, like, the look where you look a little bit longer than you're supposed to. She was looking a little bit longer than she was supposed to at old girl. And I was like, oh, there's something there.
We're like, I don't know. We have like these gay antennas. Like, you immediately know, like, you're like wired to know, like,
to notice
this
subtle
is homosexual things. Activity. Like.
It is. I feel like sure people, they would just gloss over that and be like, what? She just looked at her dress. Or
no, yeah. I had this conversation kind of recently where somebody was telling me, like, they were watching the Legend of Korra series, and they're just like, there's, you know,
which one?
Legend of Korra.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, they're like, no, like, I didn't see it at all.
I saw it the whole,
like,
time.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it the whole time. No, I saw it that last season, like, it was there, you know what I mean? And I saw it and I was in tune to it, but
I
then
I feel like the writers were trying to hint at that since the moment they met.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Because We got way off topic.
Yeah. No, but my point is that, like, you know, the person that I was talking to about it, like, they were not, you know, they were not looking for that. They were not expecting that.
We're always looking
for it. And they were,
like,
straight up, like, whenever they left to this vacation together, whenever they went to the spirit world together, I thought they were just being gal pals. And I was just like, knee slap. That is hilarious.
Let's just hold hands and look deeply into each other's eyes for, like lean in 20 seconds.
Like, no, I mean, like,
I never do that with my friends.
No, but I mean, some friends, but I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
What kind of friends do you have? Okay. We'll very different than my friends. Me and my friends.
I don't
even know if we make too much eye contact. We sit next to each other and grunt. You know, like, me and Joe, honestly, I don't think
you guys
friends,
know,
like,
you guys are like super no homo. We're like, no, don't touch me, bro.
No, we're super touchy. Yeah, we just don't look at each other in the eye for like 20 seconds. We're super touchy, but we don't make eye contact. It's That's very weird.
If we look at each other, it becomes real. I feel
like yeah, it will. Like, I really don't recall looking into each other's eyes like that. Like, not at dinner, but yeah, like, not at anything.
But I mean, but to the point, like yeah, they, you know. And I kind of mentioned this. I was like, I think that Nickelodeon on purpose, or the, you know, the writers and stuff on purpose, this is a show for kids. So unfortunately, they deem this shit inappropriate, and it's not. But you know what I mean? Like, they say, you know, they had to tune it down to a certain point to where, like, only us could see it ahead of time. For example,
Side note. Like, when it first premiered, like, it wasn't the last two seasons.
The last season wasn't on Nickelodeon, so that's why it was a little more harsh.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So in a sense, it kind of, like, they knew that, of course they knew who the last episode was going to happen. So, like, in a sense, they kind of, like,
I feel like it was a last minute decision, like, in the last season, I think that's when they really were like, this is going to happen.
No, because I feel like from season one, I didn't intentionally put on these goggles, my gay goggles. I took my gay goggles off.
Damn, we accidentally talked about TV.
I know. No, I put
I'm
on
not
my,
gonna. I'm not regretting this.
I put on my gay goggles, and the first scene where they meet and she shows her around, Aang's.
I think their relationship period was always meant to be like
super
something.
Intimate.
Yeah, something intense. Like, they were like these people that were a lot more alike than they were willing to admit. So from the get go, I do see that they had like some sort of relationship that was different than
they
others.
Had, like, they admired each other,
right? But I don't think that it turned into something more. Even like
no,
in,
dude,
the,
they,
in the actual
she blushed
show.
When she showed her the house.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I can go
back and show you, because I've rewatched that scene like. Anyways, I didn't have my gay goggles on, and then I put like
I read the comic, by the way.
We need to talk about that.
Yeah, I read it comes out in like next month. I read it and it's amazing. I didn't get to review it, but it looks really damn good, dude. I think they focused a little too much on like coming out and stuff like that, because it's just like. You know,
they didn't have to even come out. They just be like, "Yo,
like,
we're
she
dating
has powers
now.
And you care about
yeah,
this."
Yeah, like you she saved your
she's
life.
She's the avatar.
She's the avatar,
care
and you care
this?
About
this. I don't
the
know.
Sexual like no one's mentioned it, doesn't matter. Like
yeah. So that's my critique about it.
I still think it's kind of bullshit how they premiered it though, because like all through like the last four seasons they had, it was on Nickelodeon, then the last season like it was only on nick.com and
I'm
we
really,
kind of knew how the
you
last
know,
episode
they could have
happen.
Canceled it.
Yeah,
they could have canceled it. It's still. I think a big part of it too was that like Korra, even from the beginning, even the first few seasons, was darker than normal Avatar.
Yeah,
or the first Avatar, like it was just darker straight up. So, I think it probably would have like not been as good had it been on Nickelodeon that last season. Because it got really dark. It was like PTSD.
Yeah.
We really did get off topic.
It did. Yeah, we really did. Like I'm in it on this podcast, but yeah, that's.
I guess let's go back to Firefly. So overall feelings about it from you?
I give it 3.5 pan dulces with a bottle of alcohol, any kind of alcohol, because it's gacho. Cool. Like you don't want to think about
so
losing
it has a, bad
a family member. No, they end up together in the ending. Are we good, Penny?
You look
Are we
dumb,
good,
dumb.
Baby girl? Are you calm? Are you calm, baby? Oh, she's good now. She's
so
happy.
So you give it 3.5
I give it 3.5 conchas. And,
out of 5.
You need a hug. And a hug. Two hugs. Yeah.
You're going to start a separate rating system. How many hugs do you need to get through this? How many hugs
and conchas do you need? Like, you need three and a half conchas are good, and then you need two hugs because...
Two hugs out of...
But they end up together in the end, and it's very good. Like, it's rare that two people just, like, fall in love, and, like, they're not questioning their sexuality. They're just like, yo, I like you. You like me. I don't care. Like, there's even, like, a super religious undertone, but...
I honestly love the religious undertones, especially when it comes to like Latino culture or like
it's so prevalent. It's embedded, it's so in part of our culture. Yeah. Like, I'm wearing a San Judas necklace right now, and I never took it off, and I wouldn't say I'm religious.
Yeah, I don't have anything around my neck, but
see, I'm not even religious, but like I have it on.
Yeah, but it's definitely embedded in my culture. I have Catholic guilt and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's part of us.
So like, I've had a couple of scripts that I've written about gay with gay themes, and there's been religious undertones because it's there. It's whatever. But all right, yeah. I mean, you know what? I'm probably gonna check it out just because I like.
It's on the Netflixes.
Ooh, okay.
It's called Firefly on Netflix, and yeah, watch it. Get a hug. Hug your dog afterwards or something.
Dude, I fucking live for tragedy and drama. Like, I love it.
Oh, then you're gonna totally be into it. But like, their use of slow-mo was like, okay.
Oh, so they like cheesed out.
It's kind of cheesy, but then they're hot. So okay. You get over that really fast. And they have a very beautiful sex scene. Like, I'm actually like, it was classy. It was a correct angle. And I feel like it's something lesbians would actually do. So I was like, yeah, director, I'm looking at you. You were like
all for accurate sex scenes.
Because they like, make me upset, thing. Okay? There's the whole entire season of the L Word was like, are you serious? Like, some of that, yes. And some of that, I was like, girl, that's not the right angle. Y'all didn't even try. Like... Okay, I have feelings.
All right, yeah, you have strong
opinions. Bring it back. Opinions. Let's get on topic.
Well, we're pretty much, I guess, do you have anything else to say about the movie?
No.
I haven't seen it. I wish I could say more.
I mean, it's a Latina-directed movie.
Which is great.
It was a lot of women involved in the process of making this movie. So I think that's really important, too, that we should support films made by women that are employing women and showing women, you know, loving each other and going through something together, and it not being a catfight, it not being, you know, it's dramatic because it needs to be. And I feel like she told the story from a very honest point of view, from her own story. So it's very personal. So
those are the most authentic ones. That's why
it was super authentic in that way.
That's why I think sometimes, like in certain times, like when it comes to whatever, people cheating on other people, as much as it sucks. You know what I mean? Like, if it's
pretty fucking authentic.
If it's real, it's real, and you wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah, but I'm totally tired of the whole stealing your wife trope.
I don't see it as frequently as you do, but then again, I don't watch movies as much as you do. I watch TV.
Yeah, TV, it's like,
this is why you need to watch Winona Earp.
It won't break my soul.
Winona Earp,
it won't have my like PTSD. It won't, like, no.
it'll
cheated on.
It'll, in fact, it'll help. Like, I think it'll probably maybe heal you a little bit because you need.
I don't know. I feel like watching this is kind of helping me like understand. Like, sometimes things just
why shit happens.
Just,
okay.
Things just end, and they should, have ended time ago, but they didn't. Anyways, I'm being bitter. Your turn.
My turn. Oh yeah, so I'm.
You're gonna change it up this episode, right?
I'm doing comics this episode. I'm still really glad that we talked about Korra, though, because that's technically TV.
We can have, like, we need to have, like, an entire episode on Korra, because I'm obsessed. I want to join that one. And Joe wants to join on that one.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we should have probably mentioned it in our anime episode, but we didn't.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but no, I want to talk about comics and, like... Because, okay, so maybe not even a year ago, but I started getting into comics for the first time ever. And I realized that, like, this gap in the media that there is for, like, queer people and people of color can be slightly filled with some comics content, essentially. Like, they are still lacking. They suffer from that. But there's still a lot out there. Like, just for me, I'm going to basically just graze over what's out there. But I'm going to start with DC, and I'm going to start with Renee Montoya. She's been, like, in the DC universe for, like, 2 decades, essentially. She's been there forever. And there's a series called Gotham Central. It's from like the early 2000s, 2002 is when it started. And she's this police officer, works for Gotham PD, and she's like in that entire series, and she like comes out or gets outed, both essentially. And it's really fucking good. Like, I have some of the hard copies, the ones with her on the cover, essentially. And like, this series is so old, and it's so awesome that they talked about this stuff in the early 2000s. Like, they have the newspaper type of material in the comic book, so it's super cute. So I started collecting that. So that's one place that you could kind of start with DC. She's later on, she's like in the 52 series in 2006. And then she is like kind of like a, she kind of comes in every now and again in a detective comics when Batwoman is in it, because Batwoman is also, she's a lesbian, or she, her character, you know, or like the entire DC universe really got revamped after 52. Yes. And Batwoman, they changed her to like this badass Jewish woman who was in the military who is a lesbian.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so
I date her.
Yeah, she's pretty badass. But yeah, she's then Kate Kane, and she's like, where she used to be like a love interest for Batman, but now she's more like his cousin or some shit. And she basically got kicked out during when they still had Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So they have that as a part of the storyline.
Terrible time in American history, along with most of the past of American history. But anyways,
yeah. But it's really cool that they mentioned that, or they had that in the storyline way before Don't Ask, Don't Tell got repealed. So they were just like, that was a part of her story.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah. So she finally, like in 2010, she got like her own series, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty awesome. She had, it's like, or at least the first, like, I would say like 75% of it, the first 75% of it is great. Then they lose a couple of writers and the series gets kind of abruptly and shittily. Mm-hmm. But the first 75% of it is great, and I've bought a couple of those hard copies for one of my friends, and I've read all of it, and I love it. I absolutely loved it. And she recently, like last year, she returned to Detective Comics, and she was kind of side by side with Batman, leading a team, and they were doing all kinds of really awesome stuff. And I read that run of the series, and then this year with DC Rebirth, she got her own series again, and they've gone hard as fuck in the diversity on that comic. Like, they have people of color, they have a trans woman. Mm-hmm. And then they have her, who she's a lesbian or whatever.
Lit.
Yeah, so they went pretty hard, and it's I think it's still ongoing right now. I haven't kept up with any comics, so it's not just her, but I read the first few, and I own the first few copies of that. The next thing that I want to talk about in the DC universe is Gail Simone. She's done some really great shit.
I've heard of
Gail Simone. Is she's a writer. Mm-hmm. And I was like super stoked she came to Dallas to a convention. I don't know
what,
like,
did she write?
She wrote a shitload of stuff. She did Wonder Woman for a while. Okay. She did Batgirl.
Okay.
And but what I know her from, what I love her from, is the Secret Six. Mm-hmm. So she kind of created the team essentially in 2005. But they didn't have their own series. They were just featured in a few things. Mm-hmm. And like half of them were already existing characters and the other half were not. And one of the new ones that she created was Scandal Savage, who's a lesbian. Ooh. Scandal Savage is Vandal Savage's daughter. And mm-hmm. Vandal Savage is like this evil bastard. And she's like, basically the Secret Six is this group that's like an evil team for hire, essentially. Like,
oh, I love evil teams for hire.
Yeah, so they're kind of like they're Suicide Squad, but funnier, honestly. Like, Suicide Squad could learn a thing or two from Secret Six, especially her version, like Gail Simone's version of it. They're like morally questionable, but like, for no matter what, like,
I love morally questionable. Yeah, they're my favorite kind of people. I'm morally questionable. We're all morally questionable in this building. Shout out to that.
But you still, you still root for them, though. That's what's cool. It's like, even though they're about to go do some bad shit, like, there's this one part that I love during their self-titled series where they like, there's this card that was created by the devil himself, a get out of hell free card, and all of the villains are like going after this get out of hell free card. And it's real. Like, it turns out to be real. Like, most people are like, is it real? Is it not? They don't care because they really want it because they know they're all going to hell because they're bad guys, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Scandal, like, steals the shit out of that.
What would you do if you had to get out of hell for free card?
I probably wouldn't change anything, dude.
Would you try to get it? I wouldn't try.
I would try. Yeah, I mean, I would try to get it. I don't want to go to hell if it exists or whatever.
I
mean,
I don't believe in it, so I'd be like, whatever. I'm being the dirt.
See, I guess like a lot of these villains kind of have the same thought. Like, first of all, do I believe in it? And then they, of course, they go to hell, so then they do believe in it, and then they leave hell. It's a long story.
Okay, yeah. If I visited hell, then yeah, I would be totally down to get the fuck out of there. You know,
yeah.
Get an Airbnb. You're like, here's your 1.3 star hotel. Your fucking person's racist and
Oh, did you hear about that story? Oh, that's not you're off topic. But yeah. Scandal Savage, I love her character and I love her storyline, but she's super serious, a very, very serious person. So really the comedic relief in this series and kind of a queer little dude is a fucking Ragdoll. Ragdoll is hilarious.
Brandon approves.
Of Ragdoll? Yeah. You know who Ragdoll is? Oh, yeah, I made Brandon read the series. Ragdoll is hilarious. You haven't finished? I don't think I have either, but yeah, Ragdoll is a fucking hilarious little dude. Like, he has the weirdest little interest, and he's, you know, and I interpret him as kind of queer in a way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's fucking hilarious. So, if not just for the very serious Scandal Savage, who is literally savage.
Savage life. Savage life. 21.
Watch it for or read it for Ragdoll. He's amazing. If they ever did a Secret Six series, I think, or like, I think it would work really well as a TV series more so than a film. But it would be better than Suicide Squad. I'll tell you that much.
Let's not talk about that.
So, they had a full series launch in like 2008, and that's probably the best one. And then they had one again in 2014, which it doesn't have the original characters, but it's still Gail Simone, so I think it's still really good. But 2008
I've seen her name
series.
Thrown around so much.
She does a lot of stuff. Yeah,
I didn't know it was a woman.
it's a woman. She's fantastic.
I thought it was a dude.
Yo, she told me she liked my name, Maite, and I was like,
wait, what? She told you she liked your name?
She told me she liked my name. I was really excited. I got her to sign all my books. I have a shitload of her books.
Lit.
Yeah. Oh, and she did like a page or two. She did some work on that Love Is Love comic. The Love Is Love comic, if you haven't bought it, you need to, because all of the proceeds go to the Orlando victims, and it's a beautiful book. I cried.
You
like,
told me about that.
I have it if you ever want to borrow it, or if you want to buy it.
I want to buy it.
It's amazing.
Get my money to the right place.
It made me cry a few times. It's like tons and like a couple dozen of big time artists and writers teamed up to do this, you know, free of charge, and it's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Anyways, moving on. Marvel.
Marvel
is the second one. I have a lot less to say about Marvel, but that's just because I like that's just because I personally love DC more than anything.
Thank you. Yeah. Same.
I'm a DC person. When it comes to comics, when it comes to you know, actual film and stuff like that, DC has failed me a couple times. Yeah. Wonder Woman is an exception, Dark Knight is an exception, but the other movies need work.
Yeah, they do.
So high hopes for Aquaman.
Jason Momoa.
Love him, and I love
beautiful man.
Yeah,
he's gay, but that man's beautiful.
I'm jealous.
Joe's jealous of him.
I would, I would like definitely hug him a lot.
I would too. I would hug him a lot. Yeah, lots of hugs. Mm-hmm. We could be friends. We'll talk about women together. You know, he could tell me about Lisa Bonet and how
he's
beautiful
like,
she is.
He's like married and stuff. So
yeah, he's married to Lisa Bonet. Oh, like one of the most gorgeous women on earth. Like he had.
Oh, I mean, he was in Game of Thrones. Enough said. It comes out today. This is gonna come out later, but that show comes
way after
back
that.
Today.
But just so you know, this is where we are in time,
in life,
earth,
in time,
in life.
Our time is different than yours.
It's different from yours.
Watch Arrival. You'll see that time is. Construct. Anyways.
We're in the future. We're in the future.
Anyways, but Marvel, I really only want to highlight a couple of things. The Young Avengers series, which is it lasted quite a while. Specifically Young Avengers in 2013. Pretty much every single one of the main characters was pretty queer. Like by the end of it, all of them were pretty gay. Because it started out, it was just like it was Wiccan and Hulking, who are a couple. And they have like existential fucking crises because they're teenagers, and he's just like, Wiccan's like, shit, did I fucking create you in my mind? And the Hulking's like, fuck, did you? You know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, it gets a little weird, but
you're
it's
dating
a,
your idea,
right? Because well, Wiccan is like super powerful. Like, I don't know. You have to read the series to kind of get the
wait. So I don't understand. Wiccan's dating someone they made up?
No, it's like a Christ. Like, it's we don't know. at the end of it, like, we don't know if he was created by Wiccan or not. He doesn't know if he, like, imagined him to life, because he can do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, it's, could, like, imagine it's pretty deep. And then date them.
That also, would be fantastic. I would be done with dating. I'm done with dating.
Yeah, because I think the reason that he questions it is because he has his boyfriend that's, like, the most perfect dude in the entire, like, that he could have possibly imagined, essentially.
Everyone feels like that in the beginning.
That's true at some point. But yeah, they also have Kid Loki, which is Loki, like, a kid, I guess, as a kid.
Oh, really?
And then Marvel Boy, and they both identify as, like, sexually fluid by the end of it. Cool. They don't really do much.
But they're kids. I don't want them to do much.
Well, they're teens, yeah. Well, they're like, by teens, I don't mean like 16. I mean, like, I think they're like literally 18 and 19.
Oh, so they're young adults at this point. Okay, I don't know.
They're still teen in their age.
Yeah, at least.
Then Prodigy is in it. Prodigy's a really cool character.
Prodigy. R.I.P. Not the rapper. R.I.P. Prodigy. I see, this is how we're very different in our references. I'm like, oh yeah, Mobb Deep, and you're like, Prodigy, no, comics.
No, it's Prodigy's, you know, he's this really smart guy in the comics. Yeah,
so is Prodigy,
but he comes out as bi in the series. And then and that's pretty cool. And then he comes out later on in the America series.
Ugh, bae.
Yeah,
love her.
And of course, America is the reason that I started reading this series. She's like this super, in the Everything. Young Avengers series anyways, she's like this super stoic, powerful, and like has this
gorgeous badass.
She's gorgeous, badass, and she has like the like a great moral compass, essentially. Like, she has no, like, she's grumpy and she's pissed off all the time, but she loves to help people and it's all she wants to do.
She's essentially me as a superhero now that I think about it. Grumpy, kind of a jerk. Okay, there's a lot of doubt in this room. I get it. I'm definitely not.
I think you're pretty open. I think you're pretty openly. You're a lot nicer than I am, for example. And you don't think she's nicer than I am?
I'm enthusiastic, but I don't think. Yeah,
see, she doesn't have
that. I don't think
that.
I'm nice.
She doesn't have the enthusiasm. She doesn't even really talk in the series.
Oh, no. I talk way too much.
That's what I'm saying. She's very stoic.
You gotta mute me, you know? Shut the fuck up, Cynthia.
So pretty much by the end of it, everybody comes out as pretty much queer, and that entire series is amazing. Like, you have to read that whole thing. It's great. Even though it's kind of geared towards teenagers, what are you gonna do?
We've all been teenagers, it's fine.
Yeah. So America got really popular off of that series, and that's why this year she got her own series. It's beautiful. The artwork is beautiful, and it has like really cool, like, has a lot of POCs.
They released a variant cover that looks like Lemonade.
Oh, the Beyonce homage, basically. Yes. Like, I own that hard copy. It's beautiful. It's amazing. So that series is written by also a queer lesbian writer.
What is her name?
Gabby Rivera.
Yeah, Gabby Rivera. She wrote it. She's Puerto Rican. She's a lesbian. She's a writer. She did a young adult novel called Juliet Takes a Breath.
Takes a Breath, yep.
I read that not too long ago.
How was it?
It was good. Yeah, it's about like a, basically it's about, I think it's kind of like a, like almost about her, essentially, maybe like an experience she went through. It was really interesting. It calls out a lot of racism and white feminism. It calls it all out, which is kind of cool.
Cool. Go read that too.
Yeah, so America series is cool. It's kind of a trend, and this is something that people have been asking for, and there has, you know, that's the first signs of acknowledgement there, is that, you know, it's the first queer Latina character having her own series. Yes. And also written by a queer Latina.
Yes.
So same thing kind of happened recently.
Super important.
Yeah, so same thing happened recently with Iceman. Iceman came out like 2 years ago. Came out of the closet 2 years ago, I should say. And he finally got his own series this year. Or this summer, actually. And it's written by a gay man named Cena Grace. He's super cool. Popner TV is going to be interviewing him, and I'll likely be interviewing him pretty soon, so that's going to be kind of cool.
Hopefully you've already would have interviewed him by the time this comes out?
It's if we were... No, yeah. It may already be out by the time we release this episode.
Check Popner TV to read.
Yeah, we'll link you if so. We'll link you and put it in the description if I have already interviewed him and if it's already up. But I'm pretty excited about that.
That is super exciting.
Yeah. And But yeah, that's your quick, super quick intro to lesbians in DC and Marvel. It's just the stuff that I really like, and it's kind of, I went in semi-chronological order. So just, you know, letting you know that there's a world out there of diversity in comics, even though it lacks. And I went to a whole like panel about how lacking, or there's actually a shitload of like comics with like POCs and queer people. They just don't get highlighted. So honestly, go search for it. You really need to go search for it, and you need to support them with your money, because buy these copies, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of stuff out there, and we can't bitch if we don't try.
Yeah, we got to talk about it so people go and find it and support it.
There's some really good, like, outside of Marvel and DC, like, the smaller ones, like Image Comics.
Image
and
Comics is awesome.
Even smaller than Image, Dark Horse. I think that's who did the Legend of Korra series, which is coming out soon.
Image, right?
No, Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. Okay, yeah.
Dark Horse did it, yeah. And then IDW does, you know, a couple of TV shows. They do Orphan Black, and they do Winona Earp series. And I keep up with those, and I have a lot of their reviews on Pop Nerd TV, if you guys aren't convinced by me. But
we'll always link
them. I have previews and reviews of Orphan Black and Winona Earp recent comics. Because I read them, and I love them. Like, Orphan Black, if you're a fan of that, like, they have an alternate universe where... if Beth had lived, so they kind of show what would happen if Beth had lived, which is really cool. Yeah. So check all that stuff out. Sorry that I veered away from TV, but I love comics and I really wanted to highlight this.
No, you got to talk about it. I'll do an episode on books soon.
You can just, ooh. I have some stuff.
I have some stuff too.
Cool. Cool.
So go read your comics.
Yeah, and go watch this film Firefly. Came out, what, 4 years ago?
2013, but yeah. It's on the Netflix.
4 years ago,
it's
on Netflix.
On the Netflix. Get you a boo and chill. Yeah. Get you a dog and chill. I don't know.
Get you a blanket and chill.
Blanket,
that's what I'll do.
A person. Whatever you like to watch movies with alone, if
a
you
beer
want to.
It is.
A beer like Maitha. But yeah, enjoy it. Rate it. Love us. Hate it.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I don't know either. But we love y'all. We're going to go ahead and...
we're going to, I guess...
get the fuck on out.
Get the fuck on out. If you haven't already, you know, find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. CYC Podcast. We follow back pretty much everyone unless you look fake.
Unless you're a bot.
Unless you look like a bot or like somebody that isn't actually...
a person.
Yeah. So... follow us on those two social medias. We don't have like a Snapchat or anything. Or our personals are mine is MYTE Panda.
I have no idea what mine is.
Yours is Fred Papita.
Mine is Fred Papita. Go follow me at Fred Papita.
How do you not?
I thought we were talking about Snapchats.
This is literally. Oh no!
I was like, I don't know my Snapchat name.
Oh yeah, no, don't add me on Snapchat.
But follow me on the tweets. Follow us on the tweets.
I mean, I guess you can add me on Snapchat. It's fine. I'm pretty sure it's Maite Panda. Like everything else.
Like everything else.
Everything is Maite Panda. It's fine. But yeah. Join Support Brown Podcast on Facebook if you want to find other Brown podcasts. Yes. Not All Millies is what Fred Papita is on.
And our editor, Joe.
And our editor, Joe, who chimes in sometimes. And, he chimes in with the how much people that... never mind.
Closing the goddamn door. No. No. Anyways, okay, that's a very old Panic at the Disco song. And go follow our sister podcast, The Phenomenal Cast, with our lovely, lovely co-host of Not All Millies. We love her. Is she going by an alias? Are we at Madame Lizette? Find her, love her.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Follow our sister podcast. And later. We love y'all. Bye. Get the fuck on out.
No, quit ending it. I was going to plug the email.
Oh, fuck that.
If you have any recommendations or hate mail, cycpodcastmail@gmail.com. And we would appreciate very much if you go rate and subscribe on iTunes. I mean, on Apple Podcasts. I mean...
only rate us good ratings. If you're... if you have anything bad, you can just fuck on right off.
Yourself.
Keep it to yourself. All right. Love y'all.
Bye.